previously on Valiant.
And there is a minecart just at the end of it that two people are tending to inside of the minecart. It appears to be a bunch of weird glowing rocks. It almost has like a pale blue light coming from it. He takes this rock and goes to launch it at you, Saren. And it collides against the rock wall and bounces off and flies towards the cart. And when it collides against the cart, suddenly the light on whatever material's in there starts glowing a lot brighter. And for just a split second, everything is just that pale blue light just intensified to such a degree that you only see this light. And it feels almost as if you're burning. It feels terrible as this happens. In the next instant, you feel great. You understand that whatever that feeling is has granted you greater power than you've ever known before. You know magic, and this feels like something more than magic. You're all feeling a lot stronger. You're all feeling great. You have a bunch of super-powered hero points.
Yeah, I think Ev is going to try to discreetly go by the Magical Emporium and talk up Ayla Mesa.
So she takes a moment, and you see her reach up and pull her goggles down and eye you suspiciously. Ev, what happened to you? You're glowing brighter than the glass desert. Ev, I don't know how you did it, but I think you're a god. Well, I think that all lines up to everyone taking their time in town. We'll say it's been 3 days worth of time that's passed. And Sarna is in the town square, probably finally doing the work to trawl for a new job. Ev is on his way to the saloon. Ziadani is probably still out asking questions. And Saren is probably on the way to pick up his Dublin hat from the leather worker from Trevally Skins. And hey, look at that. You're all here in the plaza at the same time and can find each other again. And when you're getting close to each other, much like a magnet facing another magnet, you feel like a very strange, just ever so slightly, like, pull toward each other. This isn't something that you were feeling while you're going around town, but if you happen to walk, we'll say within a couple hundred feet of each other, you might have felt the tinge of it just a little bit. But now that you're all here in the plaza, there's this weird kind of like, huh, you suddenly are aware that, oh, Saren's over there or Sarna's over there, even though you may not have spotted them immediately. So you're suddenly all aware of your being in the same area as you're doing so.
I think I call out to everyone.
I will head towards the call out.
Ev puts on a big grin and starts walking over.
Donnie is like a little bit alarmed and taken aback. And I think I'm going to just kind of walk behind a building and return to my usual form and then approach.
All right, in walking behind the building, that feeling does lessen. I mean, mm-hmm. it's very weak to begin with, so it kind of fades away entirely, but then as you approach back to the plaza, you feel it again. And once you all get in close proximity to each other, that feeling goes away again.
Hey, you all been feeling still kind of supernatural lately?
Hey, you know
what
would be
lately?
Great to go to someone's house or room and talk about that.
Oh, yeah. I got a room. It's just right there, and I point at the house because it's literally about, 100 yards away? Y'all want to come over for a minute? No one there but an old lady.
All right.
Sure.
Great.
Okay, so...
Ev just, like, nods consistently, like, yes.
Ev, the voice of reason.
That's not a good sign for this group.
Sarna is not super good at thinking ahead. Okay, I welcome everyone in. I tell my landlady, like, oh, is it just some friends of mine? Nothing much going on. We're just going to head up to my room and catch up.
That's nice. Let me know if you need any snacks.
Ooh, what do you have?
Oh, I got some cheeses.
I love cheeses. Ooh, cheese. Do you have any wine?
Well, yeah, I can get some wine. Give me a few and I'll come on up.
Thanks.
I don't know if that's what you wanted to get away from Brian Years. You just invited one, but I can't say no to the cheeses either.
Mm. And Ev just gets really quiet and says, don't worry, I'll give her some money for it. I'm not looking to put her out or anything.
Glad to hear it. So anyway, feeling a little supernatural lately? Because I feel like it's almost like I got something under my skin. I just feel a little different. It hasn't gone away since, big mine explosion business. Obviously, it's not as strong as it was in those first moments, but, haven't gone back to feeling the way that I felt before. Anyone else feeling that?
Absolutely.
Been very aware of you all.
Oh.
Ev's just like nodding like, oh yeah, really? Mm-hmm. Just keeps nodding. Mm-hmm.
Anyone managed to figure something out? So I'm a bit out of my depth here, so I haven't really known where to start.
It was on my list to worry about, but I had to deal with a hat first.
I see.
A hat?
Yeah, I picked up a hat, but it's too big for my head.
Oh, Mesquite's hat.
Right, so I'm having it resized.
Oh, that's nice. Are you changing the style or anything, or just like shrinking it down?
Well, I'm not even necessarily shrinking it down. I like a big brim. I am having it set up so I can put it on top of my fez.
Oh, that's nice. So you can, like, hat within hat kind of thing.
Double hat.
But
I like that. It keeps you cool, but also keep you warm.
The magic, though. The magic, though.
Oh!
You said you figure something out?
Yeah, I immediately went to looking into that, considering it seemed very strange how it had exploded and we got strange powers. I think it might be... Maybe, theoretically, hypothetically, allegedly, tied to, there's, the continents out east, there's allegedly a stone that maybe if you touch it, you gain a lot of power. So maybe this stone was related to that kind of, stone from the stars that released a lot of power into us.
Are you talking about the Starstone Cathedral in the center of Absalom?
Yeah.
Well, it couldn't be related to that. The Starstone turns people into gods.
Yeah.
You know something. What are you not telling us?
Are you from out there?
Me? Or... Yeah, I'm from back east.
Oh, yeah. Do you know much more about that then?
The only other thing I can tell you is that the god Caden Kalian is a god because when he was mortal, he got really, really drunk and wandered into the Starstone Cathedral and became a god. And he was so drunk that even as a god, he does not remember how he became a god in the Starstone Cathedral.
Well, none of us were drinking. What, it just seems like this might be a smaller form of that, like, you know, like maybe 10% or growing towards something
bigger, like you've described. So, but apparently it's, you know, suffusing us. And I do have a friend that would love to see more people affected by this. She's also a...
Who, your friend?
She's here in town. I probably shouldn't have given out her gender just offhand.
What is it, Isla Mesa?
Yeah. I mean, she's a wizard.
Who else?
She studies these things like me. She's a bit more into the crafting and some blending of tech and magic, but, you know, she and I correspond all the time. I can actually read. I don't know if no one believes that, but I can actually read. I study wizardry. I have a spell book. I mean, I don't read a lot. I mean,
We go from you saying that we're all becoming gods, and now the topic you go into from that is making sure we all know you ain't illiterate.
Well, it's just, you know, people think certain things, and I'm glad for that. I want them to believe certain things, but, you know, layers of obfuscation here is good for my persona, especially dealing with some of the people that come.
Right, down. So you literate, let's get back to this whole Stone Star thing.
Oh, yeah, she led with that, I might add. She spent 8 hours studying me up and down, just goes, I think you're a god. And I was like, whoa, nuh-uh. No. But this power is strong. When I spoke of the glowing blue magical stone that exploded, she thought, you know, divine power. And I was putting one and one together, and Starstone seemed right. So, maybe?
She have any idea how it ended up in those mines? Because you'd think that those mountains have been mined for a long time. You'd think that somebody would have noticed by now that there were these glowing blue rocks.
Someone did notice. That's why the mine got taken over.
Yeah. I think Siren's right.
What is it they was calling that they was looking for? They was saying...
Sky dust.
Yeah.
Yes.
So dust. If star stones make gods, clearly star dust makes little tiny minor house gods.
House gods? Yeah. Sounds awful, you know, domestic.
Not great big country gods. Not gods of entire continents, just, you know, like gods of a small clearing or gods of a particularly nice small little waterfall or the god of crickets, but only on Tuesdays.
So,
all right, so we saw what happened when someone find out that mine might contain the sky dust, right? They take over mine, they kill people. We gotta worry about your friend?
No, in fact, she's worried about who knows for, you know, them targeting us or her now, actually. She's pretty studious, pretty much on the up and up. She and I have worked a long time together.
Just so you know, calling someone pretty much on the up and up does not install confidence.
Isla Mesa is, she's interested in science. She's always, I mean, I've known her for a long time, just kind of peripherally. She doesn't socialize much. All she wants is research. I think that... You know, if it seemed like it would be beneficial for her research to sell us out, she would probably do it.
Oh, why? I didn't get the impression
that Gears wasn't interested in science, none.
Yeah, you know, I feel like we should probably... I'm not going to go down there and let her poke at me for 8 hours. I'm going to try to... You know, I know I was talking in the town square, being a real dummy, but... Now that we're talking about this god stuff, I don't know. I think we should keep this to ourselves. But that being said, if we are little mini gods, little house gods or whatever, you think we have a responsibility to... Don't gods protect people? Is there something we ought to be doing with these powers? Or am I going to keep hauling lumber and garden like caravans for the rest of my life with these little mini god powers?
Wait, is this what's wrong? Is this what's wrong with them out east? That anybody just walk in a building, get drunk, become a god?
Heck if I know.
Ep chuckles. I certainly hope not, because especially some of the colonists that have come over have not been divine as much as they like to think so.
Yeah, I'm worried about that Torm cleric that gone trying to become god, apparently.
I've been thinking about that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
If they're trying to get a hold of more of this sky dust, last thing we want is some colonist godlings messing around with our land.
It's gonna be like Easterners, but they're from here.
Yeah.
My biggest concern, if I'll be honest with you, is that if the stuff is in us, is someone gonna try and figure out a way how to get it out of us? Like with a giant grape press or something, right? Can you put us down and put a blanket over us and hit us with a hammer until the god stuff comes out?
I certainly hope not.
Well, most importantly, I don't want someone to try and find out.
Well, I mean, one thing I brought up to Taylor Mesa was, why did we get helped by it, but all the others pretty much got hurt by it?
Just, it all shake out and we act first? Like, maybe they was, but we just took them.
Or maybe it only chooses people who don't want to exploit it. Have there been any people who became gods from that Starstone who seem like they want to exploit it, or is it mostly random incidents like you described?
Well, I'm not an expert. I just know the Caden Kalian one, because if you put that to music and sing it to a bunch of drunk people, they tip well, because it says that drunk people can become gods.
Owen, so with your... I think Bardic Knowledge lets you just attempt lore checks.
Yep.
Of any kind. Do you want to give me that? Give me a roll for that to see maybe if you know any other gods that may have come about with...
Sure.
That stone star, what have out they have out east?
Absolutely. Of course I want to do that. So my roll is a 14. I'm right, it's a 21.
All right. Luckily for you, you're from out east. Where's Sared from out east, actually?
Tal'Dor.
Classic benevolent people, the Tal'Dane.
Yep, he's classically so, to be a court musician and hated it.
So you take a moment to think as Yadani asks that, and almost Sarna. As if, oh, Sarna, you take a moment to think as the question was asked, and almost as if for a moment it was plucked from your mind, you had to really think hard and kind of pull back that knowledge to your head as if someone was trying to keep that from you. You've heard of three different deities that have become gods with the help of the Starstone, at least so the stories tell. One of them being Caden Kalian, easy enough to know. Another one being a great warrior by the name of Iomedae. And this is the one that was kind of hard to recall, but you were able to do that. There's a deity of assassins and thieves and secrets by the name of Norgorber. And he, best as you know, isn't necessarily on the up and up. It seems more of an evil deity. It seems like he'd be good friends with Torm the Wandering, because Torm is also focused on thieves and stuff, but Norgorber is also focused on secrets and stuff like that. So that's what you recall at the moment. And if anyone else wants to do a society check, you might learn a few more things.
Here, what he can,
or it could be another bardic lore
about the other gods. Although he will note that since Norgorber doesn't want to be remembered and is the god of secrets, and is not a good guy, I will be referring to him as No Good Booger from here on, just so that I am not, in fact, using his name.
Oh, dear.
Because I'm afraid if I say his name, he'll pay attention. But if I just say No Good Booger, no one will pay any attention at all.
I love it.
Now, Luis, you're officially not allowed to make him a main part of this campaign, because then we have to hear Owen say No Good Booger for the rest of the adventure. I think my reaction to hearing that is, you know, a little bit concerned that there could be evil people who get this power in their hands.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely something that could happen. And it sounds like there's someone evil who's trying to get it in their hands.
Yeah.
Hey there, Luis here. It's me, your GM for Valiant. I figured you missed my voice, and I wanted to interject for a bit so you don't forget what I sound like. I'm only kidding, of course. I absolutely adored how much role-playing went on in this session. It was a blast to get to see everyone work out how to handle their newfound abilities and the consequences that came with having them. It was great. You may have noticed I went quiet for 10, 15 minutes there? It's a good time. Role-playing. I love to see it. One fun thing about running a homebrew is being able to take the ideas that the players put forth while role-playing or even just chatting around and using these as inspiration for the future. There's actually been a few of these moments here and there throughout the campaign so far, and even in editing this episode, I got inspired for some more ideas for the future. Whether or not they'll make it in is yet to be seen, but it's always just fun to be inspired. Someday I hope to be inspired enough to come up with a name for Sarna's Nana / Landlord, or for that deity of water. Ooh, maybe that water deity's name is... Nope, no luck yet. Anyway, a few notes about the show. First off, near the end of the episode, Rob says a swear, and I censored it with a fun little bullet ricochet sound effect. It sounds like this. So when you hear that, don't think there's a fight going on or anything. It's just dealing with Rob's little potty mouth. Second of all, with how things are lining up, there might not be an episode in the next 2 weeks, as that lines up with Christmas Eve, and I might not have a full episode ready to go. I don't know just yet, but I figured I'd warn you now, so you're ready for it. But if you're listening in the future, you can just skip to that episode right now, because, hey, Christmas is already come and gone, and the episode's probably out. Anyway, that's all I really have for the moment. I don't want to keep you from the fun role-playing that's going on, so let's hear that guitar. Ev, you attempted your society check. Your father's Mwangi.
22.
Where's your mother from, if you've decided at all?
Mother is from here.
From here being near Altamita and this general region, or just here being Arcadia?
I can't think of the... Where the...
You're talking like Zapotl?
Yes. And the tree and everything.
Right? Okay. Good. Then that makes this make a lot of sense when you recall this information.
Yeah.
In thinking of, you know, has the Starstone made any other gods or anyone else gotten power like this, you recall a tale that your mother told you, which is a very important tale, very fundamental mythology to where she's from, the nation of Zapotl, which is a region southeast of here. I think it's actually on the opposite side of the lake, of the big lake. But She explains that Zapotl used to just be a mountainous region. It was all mountains, the big Mildenesi mountains that run along the center of Arcadia, much like the Rocky Mountains run, you know, a lot of the U.S. Where just they extended for a long distance, even greater than the Rockies. And at one point, ages and ages ago, something big fell out of the sky, and with it, a lot of metal rained down upon Arcadia, and that's where all of the sky metal came from. It's this, whatever this big comet was that rained down the metal. They sometimes call it the crying comet because of it like tears coming off of the comet dropping the sky metal. And among this stuff were strange rock fragments that fell into the Mildenesi Mountains near what is now modern day Zapotl. And when people saw this, they went to investigate, and they found that whatever these fragments were from the comet gave them extraordinary powers. And these were the first people that achieved the great power of living gods. They refer them all as saints now, the Yans and Yantis of Zapotl. And they use that great power to level the mountains and make the region, make Zapotl a safe haven from anyone else that was trying to commit evil amongst the people, which included the evil Rasatlani Empire back in the ancient days. And these ancient saints sound like they got the power in a similar way that you might have this current power now.
Yeah, I think Ev just goes, oh. That, my mother once told me a bit about how Zapotl really came to be. And then Ev will go into that full recount as well. And then just like leave it hanging while leaning forward and looking at everyone between their eyes, like, eh?
Yeah, I mean, this legend rings a bell to me as well. We occasionally, you know, as you know, get travelers from Zapotl through here, and I've heard this, but never considered it more than a legend, and never heard a full story, for that matter. Does that mean we are these same kind of creatures of legend now?
Absolutely. It's 100% what it means, no doubt about it.
Well, in that case...
Maybe. Or at least very similar sounding?
Well, we're saying, are we this sort of creature of legend? Legends are only based on what actually happens. So are we this kind? Yeah, of course we are. Are the details all going to be reliable? No, of course they aren't, because stories get told to entertain people. And when you want to entertain people, you change things. You reshape them so that they will be more popular with whoever you're telling the story to. You heard it from a guy. He heard it from a guy. You say it a little different. But I think we can safely say that, yes, we are now creatures of legend, tiny little house gods, and people are going to want to crush us in a great press and get the magic out of us.
We should make sure we have a good bard with us to make sure our tales are accurately told with the right embellishment.
The better your bard, the less likely it is that the tales will be accurately told. You're talking about a historian. Bard does a different job entirely.
I think we've already gotten there with the great press angle.
I mean, great press, they might try a cheese grater or Iron Maiden, or they might have a giant, two big round rolling rocks and put us through it, like when you're doing your laundry and you're trying to wring it out dry. I'm not sure what method they'll use.
Have you been sleeping the last 3 days, or is this just going through your mind the whole time?
Well, I've been thinking about this while I've been working on my hat.
Oh, sure.
Well, this is fascinating.
It got out of a rock into us. We have it now. Other people are going to want it. I guess they might blow us up. That's how we got it.
But what are we going to do about that?
Well, I suggest that we don't tell people that we were empowered with bits of stardust during an explosion or now little gods. I'm just thinking that won't play well with certain audiences.
Person, what kind of person is a sheriff?
I mean, we worked for him once.
We worked for him once, and now he got them people that was trying to get this that was there when we got this. So what kind of person is a sheriff, and what he gonna do when he get told what happened?
He's a normal lawman, in my experience. I don't trust any lawman farther than I can throw him, but he hasn't shown himself to be especially corrupt.
Normal lawman, as in this sheriff gonna be a huge problem.
No. I mean, he's a good guy, but also maybe willing to use a situation in the favor of checking out something for his partner, which is exactly what happened. So let's keep that in mind.
Well, look, but... don't worry about word getting out. The first thing we need to do is start lying a lot about what happened. Confuse the whole story.
Lying? I would never.
No. Tell 5 or 6 different versions, all of which have a little bit of the truth. So if anyone ever hears the whole truth, they won't be able to tell it from our cunningly crafted near truth.
I heard Ev was drunk, and when he threw a fireball, it just made a bunch of the rocks explode.
See? You're there already.
That's typical wizard, you know. No one's gonna be too confused by that. Just throwing fireballs all over the place.
We got to deal with them people that hired gears in them.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, which means we'd probably have to head up to Haywood, wouldn't we?
They're a whole company, other miners, and they knew what they was looking for in that mine, and they sent people to go get it.
So they're after it one way or the other. Yeah, I think so.
You know, I heard something. I heard a rumor that there's some criminal coming through town, a bank robber from New Haywood who may have been smuggling himself into town. We don't know kind of the story behind that, but... now I'm on edge about everything. Anyone seen anyone new? Anyone kind of suspicious looking coming through?
Well, there's us.
Well, anyone new in the past 2 days, let's say.
I didn't think this bank robber got nothing to do with this.
All right.
There's a knock on the door.
That'll be wine and cheese.
And there's a knock on the door, and just a kind of quiet, meek behind the door. Sarna, can you help me with this?
Oh, yeah, of course. I open the door and step out.
And there she is, our great favorite character. darn it.
Cheese, Grandma.
So she's got a platter of cheese and some dried meats, and... basically, just like a bucket full of wine, and a few tin cups. But you know, Sarna grabs the platter and helps bring him in, and then she just says, "I'll leave y'all to it. I hope you enjoy. It's not the best wine I could find on short notice, but you know, I figured y'all Sarna's friends, and Sarna's got." And Sarna's a good person, and Sarna must have a good friends too, so you probably won't be minding too much if the wine is not the best quality.
Oh, it's perfect.
Anything is appreciated. Yeah, thank you. And Ev will reach out and take her hands to like shake it and kind of bow his head, and as he does, he would press a gold piece into her palm as well.
Oh, well, Sarna's friends are very kind. Yes, indeed. Anyway, I'll leave you to it. You have fun, Sarna. And she gives you a kiss on the cheek and closes the door.
Ma'am, thank you.
All right, so...
she gave Sarna a kiss.
Not Ev.
Not Ev. Ev has not earned Grandma kisses yet.
So do you think we all better stick together? What do you think we better do right now?
Oh, I definitely... together.
Yeah, if we're concerned about this great press situation, probably sticking together is our best option, because if they is gonna jump one of us and get us by surprise and take us, and then if they is gonna find out that they can extract whatever from us, then it's really just a matter of time until the rest of us get jumped.
Yeah, I agree entirely.
next news that other news that I heard was y'all know the Beast Kings, big Monster Hunter gang. Not quite local, but local to the general region. You think they're a threat to us?
What does Ev think about them, really, Luis?
Ev doesn't see them as a threat whatsoever. Ev knows that they are Monster Hunters first. I mean, they're there for the thrill of the hunt and just having fun with that. As someone who's been on a few hunts with the Beast Kings before, they've never been concerned with anything but that. Unless you decide to, like, get in their way when they're trying to do something, no, they seem like just a fun group that if you wanted to, you could even, like, join up with them for a bit.
Ev would normally want to, like, especially if the monster was a threat or dangerous or rampaging, but he'd be all for that. But he'd want to avoid, like, seeking out a creature in its natural habitat just because it's there. So would he have had to, like, help curtail that behavior at all in the past, or see that they're more just, you know, out there for trophy hunting? Because he wouldn't be down for that either.
It's a mix of both. So the leader of the group, Carmala, she tries her best to, like, find monsters that could be a threat or at the very least won't disrupt, like, local habitats by, you know, removing one of these things. She's not going to go out and hunt a creature to extinction, but isn't above the occasional trophy hunt. So I think we'll say on one of your hunts you did have to, like, talk her down from being like, hey, you've done the work of, like, capturing the monster. Let's just let it go. That alone was more than enough. You don't have to, like, kill it. Maybe you can, like, pluck a feather or a scale or something from it, you know, as a trophy.
Yeah, get it back to where it was from or something.
Yeah, much like with fishing, you know, you catch something cool, take a picture
and
toss it back out.
So, Ev, kind of about, not a threat, but they sometimes are tempted to go a bit too far with their hunts. I mean, it's mostly around creatures threatening the towns, or, you know, could be a problem to travelers, or that they've gotten out of their habitat and they're going to, you know, cause a severe disruption to what's going on. But at least once I've had to say, hey, you know, you caught the monster, you can put it back to where it's from, let's get it gone. But if you want to take a feather or something, that's fine, but you don't need to kill the thing. So,
they take people along on these hunts?
Hmm?
They take other people along on these hunts?
Yeah.
They take anyone who's willing to join up and...
Yeah, they pick up people, they leave them behind, you know, people leave to go do their own thing. The group is always shifting.
So
if they heard about the sky dust that's gonna make them into house gods or saints or whatever, if they can hunt and find it, you think they're gonna go on a hunt to try to find the sky dust?
I don't think so. That wouldn't be their thing.
Regardless, if they come through town, we should sign up with them for their next hunt. For two reasons, because I know you're all thinking, why on earth would we do that? So I'm going to tell you there are two reasons why we should do it. Reason one, that gets us out of town just as people are starting to ask questions about exactly what happened, so that by the time we come back, the whole thing is a bit in the past, and we can just go, ha, no, of course we didn't get magic powers from exploding rock, that's stupid, rather than having to answer the question what's fresh in people's minds. Two, if we've got weird, strange, saintly powers, and people are going to try and get them out of us with a giant cheese grater, we probably want to learn how to use those powers, and a good way to do that would be going on a hunt for a dangerous monster that's a threat to town.
Do we risk exposing our powers to them, though, if we're going to be using them? I mean, certainly I'm not a magic user.
Yeah, but who knows that? It's not like magic users have a big sign over their head that says magic user. We'll just start the story that you're a sword fighter or a gun mage or a fight caster. We'll just come up with some term, and then if you use some magic powers, we'll just say, oh yeah, we've traveled with him. He's a fight caster. It's not a problem. There isn't a big book that has in it every different kind of thing people can be to use magic, right? I mean, I've been throwing spells that people don't expect me to throw. I'm running around with a harmonica. I've got a magic scarf. You're just people. All we have to do is make sure that we use these things and start the rumor again. Yeah, a carefully curated version of the truth. And again, Monster Hunters is a great way to do it, that we're just people that have studied different things and we know different powers and we're not in any way extraordinary. We're just heroes who are good at killing dangerous monsters. Plus, if we can kill a dangerous monster, that will get the local people to like us because we've saved them from a danger, and then they're less likely to help people that are trying to hunt us so they can put us in a giant garlic press.
I suppose you're right. I'm just used to people assuming things about me.
If they a bunch of monster hunters, they gonna be a bunch of weird magic using people anyway. Gonna be a collection of whole different sorts.
True.
Yeah, I think that's perfect fair.
For us to spend some time with them and get that attached to us. And if you're used to people assuming things about you, we'll just make that part of the story. They don't use magic much because they're used to people assuming things about them, and it gives them an advantage when they do pull out a strange power.
I love it. I heard Ev got drunk and taught you some magic.
Yeah. We'll keep our eyes out for some Beast Kings then.
100%. I think that's absolutely the way to go here.
Since we're all sharing, then I think I should say that most of my attitude is mostly bullshit. I really don't actually drink that much, and I'm really just here. I tend to watch and move with some groups to make sure I can stay on top of what they're going after, who they're hurting, how it can impact some of the area, especially some of the, you know, colonists that come through trading that, you know, especially the Chelish, terrible people, the Chelish. So just want to keep that in mind. If I try to have a serious conversation with us, it's because the, you know, attitude I'm trying to throw in the saloon is really just for show. And, you know, that's kind of why I was rolling into I do actually study. The wine is good, yes. But I just want to make sure that's clear.
All right, so we sticking together as a group of house gods or saints or whatever, right? Like, that's a pact that we're making here now?
Yes, so.
I think that's a pact we need to make for the moment while we're trying to figure all this out. And then later, after we've got a better grip on what's going on and what their challenges are, if one of us decides to go our separate ways, obviously I think we should be free to do that. But for now, I think it's a good idea for us all to stick together.
All right.
I think that's fair.
There's another knock on the door.
More cheese?
Sarna, I need help getting a big pot up from on the shelf. You come help your nana?
Oh, sure thing. I go down to help her.
I think that's a good spot for a break.
Excellent.
I eat all the cheese.
This has been a No Direction Network production. Valiant is an original homebrew campaign, and it's possible with the support of listeners like you. If you would like to support Valiant and the rest of the No Direction Network, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/nodirection. Join us next time for the next episode of Valiant.